So we had a different means of presenting the gospel lesson this morning. And if you did read John 4, 5 through 42, it was fairly close to what was said in that video. But I want to take us back to the world of Massa and Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord. That seems to be the world that Jesus grew into. It was a world where everyone was being tested and where Massa meant tested, and Meribah meant quarreling. And it goes way back to the ancient times of Jacob. And of course, then at Jacob's well, we see Jesus meet this woman. But in Psalm 95 today, you all read, "Do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on that day at Massa in the wilderness, when your ancestors tested me and put me to the proof. As that test is among them and among the disciples and the woman and Jesus, I see there are four parts to what we saw in that gospel lesson." And the first one was simply when Jesus came to the city of Sychar in Samaria. And there, in that city, near the plot of the ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph, Jacob's well, there was there, and Jesus, tired out from his journey. Imagine Jesus was tired out from his journey, sitting by the well, and it was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." That seems to be the first part of this lesson, that Jesus would dare to ask another. Remember, Jesus is not even supposed to go, if he's a good Jew, to Samaria. He's supposed to go around it. He's supposed to go another way on the journey to Jerusalem. Even though we know, you and I, that the story of the Good Samaritan in the Gospel of Luke, he is the one that stopped to take care of the one who had been hurt and lying in the ditch, and somebody passed him by. And it was a Samaritan, not a good Jew, that took care of him. It is Jesus that is willing to say to these unacceptable people from his own tradition, those who have broken away from the tradition of Israel that declared that Jerusalem is the holy city, and that is where the temple is to be built. No, it was not a needed temple. It was a holy mountain in Samaria, and Jesus dared to go there. And he met the woman who said, "Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep." That conversation went way beyond that. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I give them will never be thirsty." There's a new hope in our deep thirst, our deep thoughts about our lives, which is part one of that wonderful gospel story. Jesus said to her, then part two, "Go call your husband and come back." And the woman answered him, "I have no husband." Well, she'd had many husbands, and she still had another man that was not yet a husband. So she had gone astray in many ways. But Jesus did not jump into that part of it. It wasn't about that. It was that Jesus knew facts and that she was a prophet, or he was a prophet, and she could recognize it. A Samaritan woman. Now, Jesus, of course, is not just supposed to go to Samaria. He's not supposed to talk to women. And you and I have grown to accept that, that Jesus can now, he talks to women all the time in the Gospels. So it didn't, nothing new to us, but in that time, that was very radical that someone, especially a prophet or a Messiah, would dare talk to a woman, and especially then a Samaritan woman. And so Jesus stretches beyond the boundaries of the time, beyond the culture and the traditions, and doesn't worry about that the woman has stepped out of bounds in her living, but more so that he can teach her, that he can teach her his ways, and that she then can take that word and go forth into the community, to all her sisters and brothers, into the world of Samaria. So Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." And the woman answered, "I have no husband." So we know that that was a challenge that Jesus and the woman successfully used to present the good news of Jesus. And then the disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, as we had said. That is not something that he was supposed to do based upon culture of the time. But of course, Jesus not only taught her, he taught the disciples. He had to teach them about what it means to eat. Yes, they were just being caring people, saying to their master, "You need to eat. Here's the food. You're hungry. Take care of yourself." But he wanted them to know there's things deeper in life, deeper in life, and utilize this as an opportunity to teach it. So then the Samaritans came. The woman went and got them, and they asked them to stay, and that's the final part. Jesus stayed with them 2 days in Samaria, in the place that Jews were not welcome and did not welcome Samaritans in their own place. So that's the story. But what does it say to us in our lives? I want to say to you that it reaches out also to me, as we heard from Romans 5, 1 through 11 today. Therefore, Paul says in Romans 5, "Therefore, we have, since we are justified by faith, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, I think this woman learned the message of being justified by faith. She learned that life had to go deeper, and it was more than just taking things literally. "For while we were still weak," says Paul, "at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." So imagine this. Jesus went to Samaria. Those who the Jews considered, even though they followed Jacob, had Jacob's well, they were very much in the Hebrew tradition in so many ways. But there was a great disagreement among the people of the time. So Jesus went, and at the right time, it says in Romans 5, verse 6, "At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." Christ died even for the Samaritans. Christ died even for any of the Gentiles. Christ died for those who did not believe in God. Christ died for the ungodly. Imagine that. That is a teaching that came from Paul many years after this event had happened between Jesus and that Samaritan woman. But it is a message that is so real to us in our lives. We all think that it's about our salvation and it's a choice between heaven and hell. But I say to all those who continually raise that up before us, what does Paul mean when Christ died for the ungodly? That means he died for those who are so far away from us. Those that you and I need to go meet and talk to and listen to. The ungodly, Christ died for them too, and get to know them. And that's where it says in Romans 5:10, we were reconciled to God. We were reconciled to God. We have now received reconciliation. It was interesting this morning, I heard Desmond Tutu on the radio, the great bishop from South Africa. He's been involved in all the great reconciliation there for so many years. And he said that reconciliation is not a one-time event, but a lasting process, a lasting process. So the teachings of Jesus, the sacrifice, the dying for the ungodly is a lasting process. It's something that you and I are still into. And by the way, for each of us, there is an ungodly peace. When Christ died for the ungodly, all of us need to look and discover our own ungodliness. It's in you. It's in me. It's even in a Desmond Tutu. It's in everyone. No matter how wonderful we are in the world, no matter how committed we are to Jesus Christ, no matter how spiritual we are, there's an ungodly part of us, and Christ died for that part of us so that we can be reconciled to God. So I close with this. Go forth, first to the well into the land of Massa and Meribah. It will most likely be in the place where you are told not to go. Look into its depth as if it is the depth of your soul. Look hard and deep and note that you need help to receive the needed water below. Look, there is a woman or a child or a troubled youth or a dismantled man at the well. One among them is the one you are called to ask for the assistance that they will reach out. Not just you reaching out to them, but they will reach out to so many and many others. Go forth, be reconciled to God, and justified by faith. For at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly, including that wonderful woman at the well.